Exodus chapter 3, the great I am. Aren't you glad we serve the great I am? Now we're going to talk about in Exodus 3, and then we'll be in Revelations 1. We'll talk about what God really is to us. Because whatever season we're going through, we need different things. Some of us right now, we need a healing for someone we love or even ourselves. Some of us need a financial breakthrough. Some of us need a child saved. Some of us need peace in our mind, peace in our homes. Some of us have lost our joy. We've lost our strength. Some of us are battling fear, discouragement, anxiety. Some of us are just ready to throw in the towel and say, what's the use? I'm ready to give up. And we need God to be that something in our lives. God, the thing that amazes about my God is that he's not just one cookie cut pattern. That God truly can meet the needs of whatever we're battling. And there's nothing we can throw before God he doesn't understand, can't relate to, and can't fix. Because he's the great I am. All of us had different storms. All of us had different battles. Most of us come here on Sunday mornings. This is a pretty happy place. Most of us put on our happy face here. Most of us can come in and we can smile. We're glad to be here, hopefully. And we can cover a lot of our problems here at church. A lot of us don't let our laundry hang out too much in the church. We don't let our baggage hang out. But all of us have it. All of us have something we're battling. All of us have something we're not happy with. All of us have something we're struggling with. You know, it could be an addiction. It could be a stronghold. It could be a spiritual warfare you're battling that just won't let you go. But we come in here as a church body, and we're smiling, and we're ready to worship, we're ready to hear the word, ready to fellowship. But we need to leave with something. And what I want to give unto you today is what the Word of God gives us, is hope in the great I am, who he is, what he can do for your life. Because we serve a God that there is nothing too big for our God. There is absolutely nothing too big. For the same God that holds everything in space by his command, by his word, it's the same God that can hold our fragile problems without breaking them. The same God that breathed life into man and created a living soul is the same God that can sustain that living soul all of its days. That's the great I am. The same God that walked on the water, the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same God that closed the lion's mouths in Daniel's den, the same God that caused the three Hebrew children to go in that fiery furnace and not be burnt is the same God today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God I serve changes not. He is who he says he was and always will be. And the world can try to dilute God. They can try to make God less important. They can try to make God a myth or a legend. But God is no myth or God is no legend. God is a present help in my time of trouble. God is a refuge and a shelter. God is my way. God is my truth. And God is my life every day. That's who I serve. He is still the great I am. So let's not give up because our problem not been resolved. Or our problem not been fixed. Or we think we've done. Here's another misconception. We think we've done so much that God won't hear us. We think we've been so bad, God won't forgive us. We think we've been so low, God can't raise us up. But understand, the power of grace is not limited to certain deeds. The power of grace covers all deeds. It covers all sins. It covers all failures. It covers all mistakes. It covers all past misfortunes. The grace of God is not limited to, I've only done a few bad things, so you're okay. Grace says, I'll go to however dirty you are, how nasty you become, and I can pull you out of that and remind you how loved you are by your Heavenly Father. That's the great I am. And that gives all of us hope and encouragement. Don't let the devil put you in some condemnation guilt box that God's not answering you and God's not hearing you and God's not listening to you because of what you've done and because of who you are. God knows who we are. God created us. God formed us. The Bible says he knows our thoughts before we think them, our words before we speak them. God knows who we are. He knows we're weak. And we're frail, and we're emotional. God knows that. But what he knows more importantly is that the price has been paid by the great I am, who stepped in time, left the heavenly rim, breathed by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, took on flesh, and became our God, and said, all things are now forgiven if you will place your faith in me. That's the great I am. Church, that gives us hope. My God, that gives us hope. And I'm hope I get y'all as excited as I am this morning. Exodus 3, verse 9. This is God talking to Moses. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of Israel is before me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, I love this. Who am I that should go before Pharaoh and should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? The question shouldn't be, who am I? The question should be, who are you? Not about me. It's about him. See, God can take any vessel. God can take any clay and use it for his glory. It's not about who am I. It's about who he is, the great I am. And we sing time after time the miracles of God and how he used man to do extraordinary things. Remember the story of the prophet? The little widow woman was about to die, had her last little bit of oil, was going to, you know, make her last meal for her and her sons, and pretty much they were done. They were going to, you know, be starved to death. They were bankrupt. And the prophet came along and says, I can bless you. Go get all the vessels, empty vessels you can gather. Go borrow them. Don't be afraid to borrow. Don't be afraid to go do something. Don't be afraid to exercise what you can do. And her faith, I believe, was measured by how many vessels she went and got. You know, I'm going to go get two because I'm bored and I'm tired, or it ain't going to work, so I'll go get two just because he said it. Here's two. But she went and got as many as she could find. Went behind a closed door, and the prophet said, begin to pour the little bit of oil that you got in each vessel. Now, I want you to picture this story. Now, I know, church, there are a lot of smart people in the world. Smart, educated, degreed, PhD, you know, which stands for philosophically dumb. No, I'm playing. PhDs who say, that didn't happen. I mean, really, pastor. I mean, that's not natural. No, it's not. It's supernatural. Of course it's not natural. I mean, think about how a child is formed. That's not natural. I mean, you really think about how a human life, little Hudson, 14 months old, think about what creates a human life. Don't that blow your mind? I mean, with the two elements that are needed that form a soul and a body, eyes and hands and legs, and here this human comes from the womb of a mother, from two things that make no sense to form a human life, but yet it does. So I want you to picture this. I mean, I want you to really picture this. I don't have another really example, but she had a little bit of oil. Didn't have near, you know, maybe not that much. Maybe she had that much. And she had all these empty vessels. And as she poured in one pitcher and filled it up, the bottle should be empty. Everybody knows if Bruce brings me a tea pitcher, a regular tea pitcher, that's going to empty into it and be empty. But as she filled, and here's what I believe. It's time. Glory. Talking about the supernatural. Man. I'm just glad I heard them. Yes. If y'all didn't hear them, it's altar call time. So I want you to picture this, and here's what I believe. I believe there's a certain amount of oil she had, like this bottle, but I believe that as she, this is what I believe, I can't prove it, it's just what I believe. As she poured the oil into that vessel, I believe that it stayed at the same level of what she began with. I believe it stayed at the exact level as she kept pouring. Well, I still got, kept pouring. I still got to say, kept pouring. How was that? And when she got the last vessel, empty vessel, it then emptied. But it didn't run out until the vessels ran out. Church, God don't run out. He will pour into you all you're willing to receive. Let yourself be open and say, God, give me all you've got for me. Pour all of your spirit. Pour all of your favor. Pour all of your blessings upon me. I'm open to receive it, and I'll keep on receiving as long as you keep on pouring. Hallelujah. That's what he did. And so God always does the supernatural. So Moses is like, Lord, who am I? You know, Moses had wasn't the best speaker. The Bible talks about he had kind of a stuttering speech kind of impediment deal. And he says, Lord, I'm not the best one probably to go talk. Who am I? But it wasn't a matter of who he was. It's a matter of who God was. Verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with you, God speaking to Moses, And this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you, that when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Now, he's already telling them he's going to have the victory. Look what he says. When you, didn't say if, when you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. God was already giving him future declaration of victory. It's going to happen. When you bring them out, this is what's going to happen. I mean, you know, Melanie's the one, she talks about it. Most of us are. We really want a sign from God, right? We don't want a patty cake with, was that the voice of God or was that the devil? Or I saw a blue jay that landed on my finger. Does that mean it's God? You know, we need a blue jay to land on our finger and say, hello, James, I am from God. And this is what he said to do. Wow. You know, if I'm sober, gee, woo, that's the Lord. Hallelujah. We need like a real sign. Here God told Moses, it was a sign. When you bring them out, you will serve me on this mountain. This should have told Moses, he's going to do what he said. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. God doesn't call us out to lead something or serve in something or be something and then us fail in the middle of it. When God calls us, it is for the long-term end result of victory, whatever it is he calls us for. So be encouraged by that. So when I call you, when you lead them out, you'll serve on this mountain. And Moses said to God, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt the children say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am. I am is, I want to talk about this for a minute because it sounds very odd. You know, people are like, that makes no sense. What does that mean? I mean, think about how this is. Joe Brown goes to Walmart in Mooresville. He's on the Beanie Weenie aisle. I don't know why I would do Beanie Weenies. I guess I got some kind of childhood thing of that. He's on the Beanie Weenie aisle, okay? He pushes a little buggy along getting a few groceries and a guy comes up to him and, you know, Joe says, hey, said, God sent me to you to tell you this, brother. Be encouraged. He's going to finish what he started in you. And the guy looks at him and says, wow, who told you that? God. What God? Who's your God? What's his name? And Joe says, I am. Okay. I am what? I am is the one that sent me. I am the one that always was. I am the one that always is. I am the one that will always be. And I am the one who is whatever you need me to be. That, I mean, I want you to think about this. We all have different battles. As a pastor, I talk to many of you and hear your stories and carry your burden and can't fix any of them. But God can because he's the great I am. And when he steps into your season of your life and he steps into your home, he steps into your situation, he becomes whatever you need him to be in your life. This is why the Word of God is a living Word. You know, some people want to translate the Word of God as only being one way, one time, all the time. But how many of you have ever read a verse in your life and you've read it more than one time throughout your life and how God speaks to you differently in that verse throughout your life? I mean, I've gotten different revelations from the same verse my whole life because the Holy Spirit speaks to us to give us in that moment what we need in our lives, and he knows what we need, and he is the I am. And that song we sung, Awesome God, he is the mighty one, he is the great one, he is the holy one, he is the deliverer, he is the provider, he is the protector, he is whatever we need him to be, he is the I am. And more importantly, he's not going nowhere. See, God, and see, we can't fathom this with our natural minds, it's a carnal thought, and we can't fathom spiritual thoughts sometimes in our carnal mind. But God is self-existent, you know, self-created, so to speak, always been, and we can't process that as humans. How can, God's got to have a beginning. Well, the Bible says in the beginning was what? Was God. Or in the beginning, God was. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. That Word was with God. That Word was God. That Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I can't explain all things. I just know that the earth's been here since I've been here. The sun's been here since I've been here. And since your grandpappy's been here, since your great, 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 great Jehoshaphat uncle's been here, and Jeb, and whatever, hillbilly, whatever, they've been here. I said it last week. I want you to think about this. The same sun the children of Israel saw set every night is the same sun we see set today. The same sun Joseph cast his eyes upon, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel, as they prayed and they went outside and just like us enjoyed the sunsets, the sunrises. That same light that God said in the beginning, let there be light, that light has not burned out since it was created. There's not been a light bulb change. There's not been anything altered. It has burned like it's supposed to burn from the time God said it till this day. And it will continue to burn until the Word of God says anything different. That's who we serve, the great I Am. Man, if God can speak something and it lasts that long, He can speak to our lives and fix our problems. If God cares enough about all of that detail of creation, He surely cares about us. The Bible says we have a high priest who feels our infirmities. In other words, Christ suffered, and He knows that we suffer. And there's nothing that we suffer that He is beyond suffering Himself. And so when you feel so discouraged, think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what His future was. As He still was praying, as He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing He was going to be crucified, but yet He was praying, yet He was continuing to follow the plan. You're talking about being discouraged. You're talking about nobody, I mean, think about this. Nobody wants a death sentence the next day. And crucifixion was not pleasant. It wasn't a little needle of ejection to put you to sleep. It wasn't even a hanging that was a quick thing or an electrocution. We're talking about an agonizing death. Crucifixion was agonizing. And think about this. Here is this Lord, this great I Am, creator of all the universe, has come upon the earth, took on flesh. And I think about this so many times. Those disciples, church, got to see the face of God. Think about that. Peter, John, and Matthew, Mary, they got to see the face of God. The only time the earth had seen God in a form that was tangible, really tangible. And this God that loved us so much finished out His mission and became the great I Am, which meant I am the one that's going to redeem you. I am the one that's going to restore you. I am the one that's going to pay your penalty. I'm the one that's going to pay all your tickets. As D.A. Mann a few weeks ago, I'm the one that says your case is dismissed. If you've ever had a case dismissed, that is definitely good news. It's like it never happened. See, when a case dismissed, never happened. That's what God is saying. I made a way that the sin penalty no longer stands in the way of me and you. If you place your faith in me and trust that I did that for you. And all of a sudden, we're liberated and we're free to say, God, see, church, I don't believe, and I know some of you may, and if you do, it's your thing. I'm just saying, I don't believe at all. I never have been a pastor 13 years. I've never been a pastor that used the mechanics of fear to try to get people into heaven. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you scare people into the kingdom. I don't believe you talk about, oh, you're going to burn, demons are going to have your soul, and if you don't give your heart to God, I mean, I understand that there's a hell. I believe that. But when you scare someone into something, instead of loving someone into something, it don't last. Just don't last. And we don't, if we just teach, I mean, Christ never taught that way. I mean, he always taught compassion and mercy, love, hope. He always says, look what you can have. Look who I am. Look what I came to do. John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, I did not come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. When He went to the woman at the well, He didn't go up to her and say, hey, woman at the well, you think it's hot today, ain't it? Kind of hot over here in the desert. Yeah, it's about 100 degrees, yeah. You know what hell is? 10,000 degrees. And your flesh will melt and burn forever, and you'll be on fire, and you're going to be tormented, and you're going to be boiled up in flames and never have any hope of release. And do you want to live like that? Really? No. Then get saved. Oh, yeah, I'll get saved. We're saved by the drawing of God's love, by the Holy Spirit. We ain't got to scare people into heaven. Church, we got to love them into heaven. When they realize love is much greater than fear. It's kind of like when you know, even in the human realm. I've used the example before to kind of be funny, but I mean it. You know, I don't stay with my wife because I'm scared of her. Where's she at? Because I'm scared of her, which, you know, I can be tonight. But I don't stay there because of that. I love her. I love her. You know, I don't do little gestures for her so I don't get beat up. I do them because I love her. Because I'm thinking about her. Love is powerful. You know, God's not a bully. Well, you better come to me or else I'll steal your lunch money. Give me your milk money, kid. Throw us against the locker, hold us by the chokehold. Hey, you want to go to heaven or hell? Heaven? Really? I mean, duh. But that's not how the gospel really works. Jesus came to love us. He heard the children of Israel's cry. So I heard their cry, and I'm going to deliver them. And when you get there, you tell them, I am sent you. And we see that journey along the way. And what was God to those children of Israel? He was their doctor. They didn't get sick. He was their JCPenney. Their clothes didn't wear out. He was their provider, the manna, which Melanie swears watermelon, but it wasn't. Come down from heaven every morning. God provided manna. They would go out early in the morning, retrieve it, and eat it every day. He was their provider. He was their doctor. He was their clothes provider. He was their protector. Everywhere they went, God's hand was on them. The Bible says the light led them by night and the cloud by day. God covering them and watching them every step of the way until they got to the promised land. He was there. I am. I am all that you need. I am everything that you need. I am all things and I am everything. Whatever you need me to be, that's who he is. So what you're battling today, he's got it. He's what you need. Some of you might need hope. You might need encouragement. You're grieving. You're sorrowful. You're overcome with, you're just overcome with battles. You just need it. The burden lifted off. Guess what he is? He's the burden remover. That's what he said, right? Come to me, all you that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. He's the burden remover. He's the peace giver. Peace be still. He's the joy giver. We've lost our joy because of the world. God can step in and revive our joy and cause us to laugh again where all we've been doing is crying. God can turn our sorrow back into joy because sorrow, as the Bible says, cometh for a night. But hallelujah, the I am says joy cometh in the morning. That's who we serve. That's the great I am. Every season of our lives, he's being what we need him to be. We don't know what tomorrow holds. A phone call, a diagnosis can change everything. Everything. You can walk into work tomorrow and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, we're closing down. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who I serve. And I know who I believe in. And I know who the great I am is. That there is nothing God can't fix in my life. Nothing God can't change in my life. Nothing God can't reverse in my life. Nothing God can't give me in my life if I believe he's who he says he was. Story after story we read and people say, yeah, but God's not. God's still doing that. Gail sitting back there has a wonderful testimony of what he's been through. And you would never believe his age if I told you. So I'm not going to tell you. You got to find out for yourself. Go ask him. He's found the fountain of youth somehow. And he has been through all kinds of things, and here he is today, and he's told me, man, God's a healer. Should have been dead. God's a healer. God just keeps on keeping on and keeping me going on. It's amazing. If we really believe, yes, God, you're bigger than what the doctor says. You're bigger than what the devil says. You're bigger than what my friends say. And get this now. He's even bigger. You ready for this? He's even bigger than what the internet says. God is bigger than Google. Yes, he is. Don't matter what Google says. Church, I've been there, I know. What do? Get a pain in our shoulder. Pain in the left shoulder. You have a heart attack. Oh, my God. No, you just lifted too much yesterday. Or you just getting old. I mean, it don't mean it's a heart attack. And when we do that, I've got a headache and a dry mouth. Oh, my gosh, you got cancer. No, I got a headache and a dry mouth. I didn't drink anything before I went to bed, and I got a wife that I'm married to. That's all it is. Not me. I'm talking about other people. I'm just saying. I mean, Google will scare you to death. You ever Google something that's got you under every disease? Because every symptom is cancer or heart disease. Every symptom, sore foot, heart disease. I mean, Google it sometimes, like, oh, my God. So God is bigger than that. So what do? We depend on the great I am, because we can't live without him. Church, we can't live without him. Turn to Revelation 1:8. I want to read one more verse here. Revelation 1:8. This tells it all right here. This is the Lord speaking himself in verse 8. I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. The great I am's always been around. And he always will be around. When our friends fail us, the great I am will not. When our family splits, the great I am will not. When our children run away, the great I am will not. When health problems come, the great I am will be there. When disaster strikes, the great I am will show up. When you're in such a situation you see no way out, look unto the hills, David said, from where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And it does. There is nothing beyond the reach of God's hand to do in your life, no matter how impossible it seems. The church, I know we have struggles and we have problems, and I'm not one to sugarcoat things and say, you know, you're a Christian, you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, boy, you can just shout your way to victory and everything's gonna be okay. Yeah, we can do that, but you know, sometimes you ever shouted on your best your favorite team and they didn't win? Here we go, defense, here we go. You know. Or they hold a little D and the little piece of the picket fence up. Defense, defense. You know? And we can cheer off. There's a lot of times I cheer for my teams, they've let me down. The Atlanta Braves, 14 straight division titles and one World Series. Are you kidding me? They should have won many more than that. There were many years I used Kleenexes. Oh, are you kidding me? But you know what? Sometimes life's like that. And you know what? The shout goes away. We feel good on Sunday mornings. I love them services, man, where the Holy Spirit's moving, and, man, we're feeling the glory of God, and somebody may break out in a dance, or they may get the goosebumps or the warm feeling, or just, oh, man. But you know what? That wears off pretty quick. That's why it's important you got the real deal in here, that you've got the foundation of who God is, that even when you don't feel the shout, the great I am's there. When you don't see the victory, the great I am's there. When you don't feel like dancing, I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of days I don't feel like dancing, especially in the mornings. Actually, it's totally opposite. My daughter, man, she's a morning person. She gets up, fixes her own breakfast, makes her a cup of coffee. She's 13. Fixes her breakfast, does her little thing, and I lay around a little longer, you know, and trying to, you know, just get extra, a little bit of sleep. And she'll get up and go, and she'll just be so chatting away at school. Just chatting on, yeah. Can you put your earplugs in, listen to music or something? I mean, I need a little bit. I don't feel like dancing in the mornings at 7 o'clock. I'm not one that pops up. I'm not like Farmer Joe. Cock-a-doodle-doo! I'm ready to work. Off to work we go. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, no, that's not me. It takes me a little while to wind up. Once I wind up, now I'm good, man. I'll tell you, I'll go all day. But not when I first get up. Melanie calls me E.T. because when I first get up, I shuffle my feet like this. I don't even pick my feet up. I'm like going to haul like a zombie. You morning people crack me up, man. Y'all, goodness. How could you be so happy that early? Forget it. But anyway, So sometimes shouting's not enough, and the storm still comes. And here's what we got to realize. When the storm came and the boat, the disciples were on, I mean, Jesus was on the boat with them. Remember this. Jesus himself was on the boat taking some rest down the bottom of the boat. He was on the boat. Now, I wish he'd been on my boat a few months ago, but I want you to think about this. Jesus was on the boat. You've got the disciples and Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the creator of all things, on the boat with you. But what happened? The storm still came. Because on the boat didn't mean it's going to be a calm voyage. The storm came. And they woke the master up. Master. And I love how dramatic we all are, which I was too on the boat. Master, we're going to perish. Don't you care? You're taking a nap. Are you kidding me? You're asleep and we are dying up here. He probably shuffled his feet like me upstairs. Peace, be still. And all of a sudden, wow. You mean the wind? Yeah, they obey me because they're under my command. Because remember, I'm Lord of all. I'm the great I am. Just because Jesus was on the boat didn't mean the storm didn't come. It's a great example for our lives. Storms are going to come. We don't like it. Gale's got testimonies of where storms hit his life. And through those storms, here he is today. God was with him. The great I am was there, giving him the strength he needed, the hope he needed, the encouragement he needed, the healing he needed, giving him that. So in our storm, the great I am remains. That's what I'm saying. He remains. The storm doesn't blow God off course. It blows us off course. But God's still there. So I want you to be encouraged. Yes, bad things come against what we call good people, so to speak. And sometimes we question things. And I don't understand why, but understand this. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, but I will be with you until the end of the age. So if I know God's with me, all right, I'm in a storm. But you know what? God's got the milk and peanut butter cookies I need. And he's got me sitting right in the hallway until the storm passes. And he's taking care of me. That's what God does. Whatever you're battling, whatever you're going through, he's enough. Let him have it. Trust him and believe that God is all that you need, because he is. He truly is. And I know the devil brings so much discouragement and so much attack against our minds, against our spirits. He's attacked me throughout the years in my mind and my spirit. And we suffer from anxiety. We suffer from, you know, fear because of what we're seeing around us. You know, one thing that I'm seeing that I'm concerned about just in the natural, not, I know God's going to take care of us, but we are really seeing a shift in our law enforcement in this nation. We're seeing it in a way where, you know, it's going to be lawlessness if it keeps going the way it is. Because I'm going to tell you something, there ain't no way I don't want to strap a badge on right now for what they make and put my life on the line to get filmed at every corner of every word or every deed I could possibly do. Because, see, we're not getting a full picture of what's happening here. And it's really scary to think, okay, people, you don't want any structure, don't want any laws. And I understand there's a lot of laws we don't agree with. I understand that. But we are in a generation, and grandparents and parents, please teach your children to respect authority. Whether it's a teacher, a police officer, a pastor, any adult you're around, teach them to respect. You know, when I was a little boy, I was trained to call people by their last name when I was little. You know, hey, Mrs. Matthews, hey, Mr. Matthews, hey, Miss Lyles, hey, Mr. Lyles. I was trained that way. And, you know, if a law enforcement pulls me over, you know, the smartest, you know how not to get dead? Listen, comply. So when they say, you know, let me see your hands, don't be doing this. Don't be doing this. Here, hands, get on the ground, kneel down, don't move. Simple. I'm just saying. Now I understand there's abuse. I know that there's abuse in everything. There's a pastors that abuse. There's teachers that are bad. There's everybody. There's nurses that are bad. Doctors that are bad. There's a bad seed everywhere. But as a whole, if we would respect authority, I've been pulled many times. I was given a sobriety test one time because I was weaving one night because I just wasn't driving good. That's all it was. Deputy pulled me over, shine that light in the car. Says, you weaving a little bit. It was late at night. It's coming back in out of town. So, yeah, it's late. And so you been drinking? I said, no, sir. Shine that light. You sure you haven't been drinking? You kind of weaving. I said, no, sir. He said, step out of the car. Here's what I didn't do. Take off. Or say, forget you. Or say, nope, I ain't getting out of this car. I ain't budging. You know what I did? My hind end got out of the car. I had to do this and everything. Touch my nose. Had to walk. I'm on the ramp of I-40, 90 exit. And I'm doing this. Got back in the car. I was a young person then. I was in my 20s. Got back in the car. He said, okay. He said, just get home and get some sleep. Be careful, Mr. Lewis. Thank you, officer. No problems. I didn't get tased, beat down, drug. I listened. And we got a generation that don't want to respect authority. Parents or anybody of any kind. It's our job to teach. Just like how you taught Hudson. Already at 14 months, he knows how to give. He needs to know now, Hudson, you listen to adults. You listen to teachers. You listen to authority. You respect that. And you listen to that. Because you know what? We'll have it all of our lives, whether you like it or not. You got a boss at work. You may not like them, but that's your boss. You may talk about them in the water cooler. You may put stuff on Facebook about them. But boy, if you're on a paycheck, you better listen to them. It's just that simple. So respect that. And that's one thing in this generation I see happening that really, I'm like, wow. You know, because the first person I'm going to call if I'm in trouble is a police officer. I'm telling you. We got lost one time, me and Melanie, in a very bad part of town, out of town. And I made a wrong turn, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And people are walking to my car and stuff. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, whew. I pulled up, and thank God there's a cop sitting there. I rolled the window down. The cop says, you're lost, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. I'm lost. He said, look, you're in a bad place. Lock your doors. Follow me. If it's a red light, I'm going to keep going through. You follow me, I'll get you back on 40. That cop could have been manna from heaven. You know what I'm saying? That cop could have been an enchilada at me Pablo's. That cop could have been a Big Mac. That cop could have been a Dairy Queen Sunday. It, thank God he was there. Because he helped me. I mean, we could have got hurt that night. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't looking good. It wasn't looking very promising the way I was heading. And I thank God I got out of there. So all that to say this. Whatever you need. And that night I needed a cop. And God provided. The great I am gave me a cop. Thank you, Lord. Whatever we need, he is that I am. So whatever you're battling, God's got what you need. Just trust him. And just say, you know what, Lord? Yeah, you're bigger than what I'm facing. You're bigger than my problem. You're bigger than my struggle. And you understand me. And you get me. See, God gets us. You know, church, he knows our thoughts. We didn't got to say anything. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our hurts. He knows when you're crying, no one else knows it. When you're broken, no one else knows it. He knows when you're in a dark place and no one else knows it. He knows it. And he says, I want to help you. Let me help you. So let him be that in your life. Bruce, you might come up here, brother. You haven't been here in a while. Why don't you play something for me this morning? Good to see Bruce here this morning, isn't it? He's been a busy man. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, together. I want us to pray together. Take the hand of someone beside you, if you would. I want to pray in agreement for something right now. Lord, all of us in here right now, all of us need something. We're battling something, God. There's something that we need in our lives from you. We put on a great smile and a great handshake, but Lord, behind that's a hidden problem. And Lord, I pray as we're holding hands of each other, the ones we love, our family, our church family, God, that whatever the need is, that you give strength to that person to keep on hanging on. Strength to know that you're there, that you've not left us, you know what's going on, and you're going to see us and carry us through whatever that season is. Lord, I pray for those that are sick that you bring healing, that there be miracles birthed right now in this atmosphere, out of this moment, that there be miracles of healing birthed, that there be miracles birthed, financial miracles, those that are struggling and don't know how they're going to pay their bills, that God, you show up and you make a way to show and prove the great I am has filled the empty vessel that is struggling right now. God, I pray miracles be birthed in the family, salvation, addiction be broken, strongholds be broken, that every chain that binds us be released. I pray for discouragement to leave and for joy to return. I pray for depression to melt away and give way, God, to encouragement and victory right now. That we walk out of this house knowing we have been in the presence of the great I am. That we leave here different than we came because we've touched the hem of your garment. Thank you for that, God. And we claim that victory, speak that victory, and believe in that victory for our lives and those that we're holding the hands of right now. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray this. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah.